Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani. Evans with the left foot. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Side by Side, coming to you from Long Acres, the future home of your Seattle Sounders. And there's a lot to discuss. We're looking forward, of course, to the Sounders playing at home, back at home, against the New York Red Bulls. Now, a team that we really don't see that often at all. But we have to look back to probably one of the more bizarre games from this season. The Sounders traveled to BC, Vancouver last week, and, you know, you had to watch that game. I think the stats don't really tell the full story. The Sounders did dominate possession according to the stats, which is, you know, what you come to expect. But only did manage one shot on goal the whole game. Not acceptable in a derby game. And end up losing 2-0, being blanked against a Vancouver team that really was there for the beating, in my opinion. So we'll get into a lot of what went wrong and what needs to be fixed. But Brad, you were there in Vancouver. You know, I watched it from the KJR studios and called a game
small
with Danny Jackson.
That we weren't on that road
It's a trip that I'd rather not have made. We will be there in June, I think, or July when they go next. So
yes,
hopefully it's a different result. But Brad, you were there in the stadium. Give us the perspective from being in there. I know you vented some of your frustrations on social media at the time. I think we were all frustrated. Just what went wrong?
Yeah, look, I think, well, first of all, I was up there as part of we had auctioned off at the Rave Gala. It was drive up with me, and three fans won it. They play in an over 50 league, and these ladies are amazing. And they go to every event. They have season tickets to Sounders, season tickets to Rain, and just the sweetest people. So show up at their house, and they've made these, like, custom little, you know, those little champagne flutes for the road.
Oh, man.
It was, like, road trip with Brad with the old lady soccer. And it was supposed to be a great weekend, right? It started off great. We had some other fans. We had 10 people total in the van. So we're getting after it and having a great time. The vibes are great. Okay, we're shooting up to Vancouver. We got there in a breeze. We went out to a pub. We saw a bunch of Vancouver fans. Actually, we were supposed to go to a pub that Ashley reserved. Mm. And we showed up, and it was a Vancouver season ticket renewal party. And so I show up, and I got my Sounders Bruce Lee kit on. And typical Vancouver, they're like, all right, come on in. Like,
super
we're
friendly.
So friendly. Yeah.
Super friendly.
If it was in Portland, they would have killed us. And St. Ricketts was there doing autograph, and, you know, taking photos and doing autographs. And we were like, okay, we got to get somewhere else. So we went to a different pub, had a great time, walked to the stadium, everyone friendly. Sounders fans were buzzing. We got into this great seat behind the goal that the Sounders were attacking towards in the first half. We're like, okay, great omen. And then we're all sitting there scratching our heads from, you know, probably the 10th minute on was almost a lack of effort, in my opinion, that just wasn't acceptable. Maybe it was my vantage point, but I don't think it was. And you know, I'm not here to single out any player or players right now. I think it was more a collective effort going into that game that was, if you're not going to compete, you will lose in this league. If you're not going to battle for every single ball, you will lose in this league. It does not matter the caliber of player that you have. You can't just tiptoe through this league anymore. Yeah. And you used to be able to do it with Chivas USA. You knew that was a guaranteed victory, even if you came out at 75% in LA. And you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And from what I saw was the basics of defending and the basics of a derby game. No one got in Vancouver's face. In minute two, three in a derby game, you better smash someone and show them that you're ready to play, right? Nothing from the Sounders. No bite, no real emphasis on coming out and saying, okay, we might play ugly, but we're going to absolutely compete for every single 50-50 ball. And it doesn't matter how good you are. Like I said, the Sounders are the best passing team possession-wise in Major League Soccer, I think. It doesn't matter if you're not going to compete and fight for every single ball. And so that's what I saw. And I did. Yeah, I tweeted out, like, if you don't want to play, then just tell the coach. And that was right before halftime ended. And then they take off Leo Chu. Nuhu had to come off. Maybe it wasn't the best decision to start him. Yeah. You know, and you know what I liken it to? I remember we played San Jose. This must have been like 2014 when I first started playing center back. Mm-hmm. We were like five games into the season, and my grandma passed away like 2 days before the game. Mm. And in my head, I was like, all right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to play for her. But in the back of my mind, I was like, I am so mentally screwed I shouldn't play. But I was too naive maybe and too stoic, and I had no one – I don't even think I told anybody in the front office, and that was my lack of communication, which is my downfall with everything anyways. But just take everything and bury it deep down inside and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And I had an absolute nightmare of a game. And I know that, you know, coming off
Was this down in Cali?
This was in Seattle. Oof. Yeah, yeah. I had, like, slipped on a play. Oh. I gave a ball away. And it was a 3-0 route from San Jose at home, a 3-1.
Wow.
And after the game, I was like, I'm done. I don't even want to play this game anymore.
Yeah.
I was so mentally just checked out. And I know that we look at, like, Michael Jordan playing with the flu. Okay, that's the best player to ever do it. Right. We're just not at that level.
Right.
And I think for a guy like Nuhu coming off malaria, maybe he needs to put his hand up and say, yeah, I want to play. But man, maybe it's not the best thing for the team right now. Or Leo Chu coming off the birth of his kid. Man, maybe I didn't get the sleep I needed. I just need to be honest. But think about his position. Like, he needs to take advantage of every chance that he can play. Yep. But if you're not mentally and physically able to do it at 1,000%, you will get run over in this league no matter how good you are. And so sometimes we need to take a step back and evaluate ourselves and do what's best for us. And I think that was a case of, you know, maybe those two players not 110% being there on that day.
Yeah.
And guys like that, you know, that aren't familiar with the league, especially Leo Chu, they're going to look at the standings and say, oh, we're playing a team in ninth place, right? I'll be able to 75%, give a good effort and get a result. You can't. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so second half, much of the same. And obviously, you know, they come out and score a second goal, but the Sounders were always going to have possession 50-50 in that game because, you know, Vancouver's fine to sit back and let him play and then try to catch him on the counterattack, which they almost did a couple times. So disappointing. If it was a one-off, I think it'd be different. I don't know what your opinion is, but we've now seen it 3 out of the last 4 games, and it took the Sounders 2 red cards in Houston to score a goal. So, from your perspective,
there's concern. There's concern. There's definitely a level of concern. I think we can say a lot of times, you know, I'm looking at the results here, recent results. We can say, you know, oh, there's not too much concern. I will go back to that kind of shell shock feeling we had after losing to Portland, because we just come off a massive win in LA against the Galaxy, and then a really comprehensive win at home against St. Louis, and we're feeling good. Went to Portland and played very well for 60, 65 minutes. Then it was 4-1. Came back home, had a decent win to Minnesota. And then in MLS terms, it's not been good since, right? The forgettable 0-0 in Salt Lake, that was not a game we want to really remember. Losing to Kansas City at home, a team that was not winning. Going down to the Open Cup, Galaxy getting ran 3-1. You mentioned Houston, that was 9 men, and it was a 1-0 last-minute goal by an academy player, pretty much. At home to Austin losing, then going to Vancouver. So this is not pretty reading, and you are seeing a sort of pattern emerge. One of the things you can always say is it's hard to do anything if you can't have a consistent lineup. I think that's always hard. And for one reason or another, he's not been able to put out his best lineup, Brian Schmetz and the coaching staff, and also not been able to put the players maybe where he would want to put them. Like, I think, you know, you just got to decide. If Raul's out, I think Jordan's your best 9 right now. I just think he's got to play as a 9 if Raul's out. Small things like that, I think Schmetz has not been able to, because then Christian goes out. So, okay, I need Jordan back a line again. So that's concerning. I will say this for the Vancouver game. You made a couple points there. It was an away game, which you always have to be extra up for, because every team plays better at home. And it was a derby game. And I was watching Ryan Gold just kind of gallivant across the pitch, play 1-2s, this and that. Good player, but zero pressure on him. He had the run of anything he wanted to do. He had the run of the pitch. And you just think in a derby game, when you think back, we used to play against Portland and Valeri, and you
knew Chara,
someone's going to do something. Ozzy, you know, someone's going to do something. And that's why I think, you know, JP probably is the guy, and he wasn't available for the first 80 minutes. So when I saw Gold kind of having his way, I said, okay, this doesn't feel like what you should see in a derby game. Well, someone needs to get in his face.
Looked like Nico 2-3 years ago.
And it was unbelievable
just
to see that. Right. Yeah. So in a derby, can't really remember a very strong tackle, any flash points, any point where the referee had to get in anyone's face. I don't remember this. So it just felt like a lackluster effort. Obviously not intentional, but it just ran through the team and just never got going. It just never got going. So it's a very, very disappointing loss, which of course makes the next three home games, you know, New York Red Bull, San Jose, and then the big one against Portland Timbers. Absolute must wins, because the league teams are beginning to round into form, beginning to discover themselves a bit, and you don't want to let this blip, we can call it for now, become like a major, major slump. But with that particular game, I was confused by a lot of things, and I don't often question Schmetz. Not questioning Schmetz, but Giampaolo, I thought we could come on. And when we didn't see him for the first 75 minutes, I thought, okay.
Once it's 2-0, you leave him on the bench.
You're wrapping him in cotton wool, we'll come back next week. He comes on the 80th minute. That was a strange sub for me. I thought Jordan may have gone off a bit too soon. So just, I think everything was just out of sync, out of kilter a little bit. And, you know, it's a result where you go away from home, Vancouver, and you get one shot on goal against, I think, a pretty average Vancouver team, to be fair. So disappointing. Disappointing all the way. What do you think, Keely?
I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. Going back to sort of what Brad was talking about, it's sort of that like opposite of a grinder mentality, and how maybe the fact that the Sounders are such grinders, it's actually been a problem because they don't raise their hand up and say, you know, when they're having a rough time,
right. They
suck it up and they just keep going. So is it really a personnel issue, or because we're so deep and we have a ton of young players who, you know, made really good impacts, is it truly a personnel problem or is it a mental thing? And I know we're not there.
Right.
It's hard for us to say. It's all speculation.
Well,
but
I mean, to me, Schmetz's quote after the game was, we got to get back to competing. And yeah. I didn't see that until the day after, but I did see JP hung out in Vancouver for a day with his family.
Yeah.
Saw him the morning after, and I was like, whoa, what happened, dude? And he was like, yeah, we're not competing.
Yeah.
We're not competing.
It doesn't feel like an effort thing either. And so, you know, it's not. Yeah.
No, I mean, you can run around the field for 90 minutes, but it's in pivotal moments, are you going to make the right decision? And that just comes down to competing.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think the best way to get the most, you have to do something in training to then provide that competition. And I think that's in small-sided games.
Yep.
Right?
Best. Absolute best.
Right? And then you get a tournament champion.
Yep.
I don't know what they're doing at training, but something has to change where it is pure competition mode and there is a winner and a loser, and you have to hate to lose more than you love winning.
100%.
And that was Ziggy's quote, right?
100%.
I hate losing more than I like winning. And that has to drive you. And I'll tell my high school kids, like, if I'm training with them, like, I can't want to win more than you want to win as players.
100%.
That, it cannot work that way. So I think this week's emphasis is probably on competition in training. Like, we got to get back to the basics. And sometimes it's okay to reset and have a training where it is one-on-one defending for 15 minutes. And it's a competition. And then we go to 2v2s. And then we go to 3v2s. And then we play small-sided games. But something you can't just all be tactical.
Yeah.
And pattern play in practice.
The more, you know, I'm removed from it because I don't go to training every day. I'm kind of just watching games, analyzing games, you know, doing a bit of coaching. So you think about the tactics. But when I think back to the best Sounders teams we had, the trainings were hard. Like, we competed, man. Like, those 8v8, 6v6, 5v5, like, there were days that you would really, really get after. I remember, like, going up against, like, in my rookie year, like, against James Riley, like, and we used to carpool together. But we were there to, like, kill each other. It was like, you know, like, every time we make the playoffs, and I don't know if I ever shared this story, I would always text Ziggy. The moment it was guaranteed when the playoffs, I would say, please put me on a second team this week. Because I wanted to play against the first team right back that week. And he didn't do it the whole time because of tactics reason. But he did at times. And I would go against whoever the right back was at the time. And it just kept me sharp because I knew, okay, I got to face Sean Franklin on the weekend for the Galaxy. I got to face, you know, Marv Irwin, whoever it is. So I'm going to be locked in now. So you're right. It does happen on the training pitch.
Well, you want to compete against the best.
The best.
Right?
You want to.
Throughout the week.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the winning team.
If you go against Evan Brown every day of the week, it's not realistic.
Getting ready for a playoff game.
Right.
We're going to go into...
I wonder who the guy at training is. Remember, Zach would just get the ball.
Oh, my God.
If there was a bad call from Ezra, right? He'd just get the ball and punt it into the river and start screaming. I don't know who the guy is at training. Yeah. That's like if someone makes a bad call, is smashing a ball onto the other field. Like, who's lighting that fire out there?
Yeah. And does soccer have goons? Can we, like, bring, like,
a... We need it. Like, it's true. So, so it's maybe I should go and watch training a bit more because I don't know quite what's happening there and who's the voices. And because you're right. I think, like, I remember when I came back from my injury and Ziggy was like, you know, Zach Wani's back. It's good to have him back. Everyone kind of take it easy. Let's ease him back. Listen, first play, Zach Scott came and smashed me the first play. And it's what I needed. But he didn't care. Zach wasn't thinking. He came in right away, went through me, got the ball as well and got me. And you do need that in training sometimes. So I'm thinking, going into the season, I think of the Sounders, the main players, right? So you're thinking Raul, Nico, Steph Fry is there, Jao Paulo, Christian's up there. Take Steph out because he's pretty much been there. Raul hasn't really had much of a season. Nico's maybe not quite what he once quite was. JP having to manage his minutes. And then Christian's been gone for a month. So it's hard to overcome that. Now, those guys are key players who have not all been on the pitch consistently. So there are reasons.
That's the team that won you a CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fantastic team, right? Yeah. So, but I still think we have enough to not put out the kind of showing we saw against the Red Bull. That's where. Bright spot. And you and I mentioned this briefly in passing yesterday. I think it's been Cody Baker.
Yeah.
Like you, sometimes every now you get every now and then you get young players coming through, right? And the first thing is don't make mistakes. But I think the next step is can you now impact the game, which is what I saw with Vargas right away. Where I said, okay, this guy's different because Vargas wasn't playing it safe. He was breaking lines, dribbling, trying things. And Baker looks like he's been playing there his whole life. He looks very accomplished. What have you seen from him? And maybe. For how well he's playing, they can tell Nuhu, take a couple weeks. Like, just take a break because Baker actually has been pretty competent.
Yeah, I think that's a player that has blown everyone away.
Yeah.
At his just And, you know, you saw him yesterday, right?
Yeah.
He's not small by any means. He's thick,
right?
He's strong. And that's what you have to have if you're going to play in that role. Now the next step is, I mean, he's not left-footed by trade, I don't think. So coming from the left side, just play like Nuhu. We don't expect Nuhu to get forward and start swinging in balls. So I think he's done that admirably, and I think he's serviced that role well for us. And at the end of the day, this team to be consistent and successful is going to have a consistent lineup.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said about cohesion. And so maybe it's Schmetz's decision now. Okay, we just go this back four, Reagan, Yamar, Alex, and Cody, and we're going to run with it for the next month. Mm. And we need these guys to be on the same page and learn how to communicate to each other. Because it took that back four with Nuhu.
Yeah.
It took them, you know, almost all preseason because Jackson was kind of newly integrated and, you know, 6, 8, 10 weeks to get used to each other.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that with teams like Cincinnati who have been pretty much healthy, and that's why they're running away with it because they've got their best players out every single week. It's easy to win in this league if you have very good players in a home atmosphere to get results. So this weekend will be a good test. Projected lineup?
It's tough. I was thinking about that. Yeah, what does he do? I think, you go as strong as possible. Reading through his quotes, it looks like Raul's going to try and make a push for it. Maybe on the bench. I think Christian's a ways away, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, Christian's still a couple weeks, probably.
Much needed, of course. I mean, I mean, Jordan at the 9 like to see, but then who goes on the wing? So you're still a bit stuck where it's going to have to be Montero or Hebert. And just go back to basics.
And Jordan go up top and play with 1-6, let JP sit, and then put two guys kind of in front of him. Maybe it looks like a 4-3-3, kind of, but maybe it's more of a 4-4-2 diamond.
That's actually a good shout, because then you can play Rusnak in that position, because he can do that job very well.
Up a line,
Nico then has people behind him.
Let Nico play, because he can defend and run. Just make him play in that left-sided channel, but tuck in, overload the midfield. And we have to start creating chances. And at this point, I don't care if it's beautiful or if we're lumping the ball forward every now and then and winning second balls, because how often in soccer do you see the perfect play?
Right.
Where it starts with Steph, it goes wide, it gets knocked in, it's a 30 pass, right? That's why they're highlights, is they happen once, twice every month, maybe.
Yeah.
But for the majority, soccer is a turnover sport, and you have to create those turnovers. So I'd like to see them vary their play a little bit. And if that means Jackson isn't necessarily looking for the perfect ball, it's just, hey, we're going to dump it up to Hebert and Jordan. We're going to win second balls and compete. And we're going to create chances like that. And you know, we're down 2-0 and we still have four guys in the back, and then there's 3 minutes in the game and we're sending a center back forward.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, at some point you got to go for it away from home too. Yeah. So hopefully we see some, I don't know. These guys have trained a 4-2-3-1 for so long. Do we just all of a sudden switch a lineup? But something's got to change.
Something do has to change, and you know, we one as well is just players playing better. I think everyone underperformed in Vancouver. You still have individual players there who are playing a bit below what they're capable of. I think, you know, Jordan had a great start to the season. We praised him, and you have to say, you know, he hasn't scored since the beginning of April. We've moved you about position to position, but you're still Jordan Morris. You're still good enough to have an impact and be dangerous. He knows that, you know. Is Nico playing at his high level? 1 week yes, 1 week no. So there's a part of it where the players too, you know, I went through phases in my career where 10 games you don't score a goal, and you look in the mirror, you look inside, you're like, look, I need to be better for my team, and you know, I need to improve. So there's that part of it too. I do think Joe Pardo playing from the start is going to make a big difference this week. And I think coming, it's a proud team, coming back home, having a week full of training, I expect to see the Sounders come out the gates flying. I would be shocked if it's not, you know, JP's not in people's faces, if Nico's not buzzing around. I'll be shot to a couple of shots early on, try to get early goal, because this Red Bulls team have their own issues, you know, on and off the pitch. So it's a team that's there for the taking, and you're sort of building up towards that Portland game, because that one circled. I think it's been four or five games Portland have beat the Sounders in a row, which is never happens in this rivalry.
The Sounders have 1-11 right now, right? One win out of 11 games.
That is shocking. Like that game becomes a final. And I think you're building up towards that to arrive there in the best form you can in the moment. You're probably earmarking Raul to be back for that. Fingers crossed, Christian to play some minutes for that. So the Red Bull game becomes important to set your intentions. If you come out Saturday night and you're flat and the Red Bull leave it with a win, serious questions are being asked now. Now you're asking about everything. You're looking at everything. And you don't want to be in that position. I've been in locker rooms where coming into work on a Monday was a drag. And it's just like, I don't want to be here. So we're losing every week. And then when you're winning, you don't want to leave. So get back to winning. It's a habit. And you do it. I think you're right. You go back to basics in some ways. Basic formation, basic tactics. Trust that you have the better players. And then you ride the home crowd and things of that nature. That's probably your best bet at this point. But anything short of a win on it. It won't be good.
Keely, you know other sports probably than both of us do, but when you're in a slump, mm-hmm. if you're a manager, what okay. do you do yes. to right the ship?
First of all, if you're in a slump like this, I personally feel like it's mostly mental. I feel like you have to sit down with your stars, especially who are not performing to where they should be, and you tell them, look, I don't know what's going on in your head mentally, but you guys are the leaders of this team.
Yeah.
You set the example. Like, when you're struggling, that's a trickle-down effect, right? So you have to, you know, if you're a star player, you're not just supposed to be really good on the pitch. You're also supposed to be sort of set that mental thing with everyone else around you. So I would sit down with, I mean, listen, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know the makeup of the team. I don't know who the guys are that Schmetz mm-hmm. should be sitting down and talking to, but they're the ones who set the tone. And you can even say, look, yeah, right now, guys, I'm struggling a little bit. You need to pick it up for me.
Right.
You know, be honest about it, not just slumping your shoulders all the time and just like, oh, this didn't go right again.
Yeah.
Then it just cascades and cascades and cascades. So you just need to have honest, authentic conversations about mentally where you're at. I think that's what I would say.
The Sounders have a sports psychologist that's with them every game, sometimes throughout the week. So maybe there's a little trick, right?
Where do you stand on like team bonding events? For example, Schmetz says, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to put the balls away. Yeah, let's go massive. And just do, well, yeah, look. Let's go do anything, right? It can be go-karts. It can be, yeah. Ziggy took us to, was it Del Chihuly's house? Yeah. Yeah. Something different. House. Just be together. Be as, like, you know, so.
Massive. Look, you know, even for my high school team, right? We entered state playoffs.
Yeah.
And last week, you know, Craig and I talked and it's a long week. Monday, we train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, play Friday, Saturday, right? They play back to back. So on Wednesday, he brought out rugby balls. And we just played rugby touch rugby and just had fun, right? And just dogged on each other and had a good time. And then these guys now are putting together pasta dinners on Thursday night where they all get together in preps for the next day, right? They'll all go out to eat today before we train at Renton Memorial. We have a game tomorrow at 1 o'clock if anyone wants to come watch it. Semifinal.
Might do that.
I think it's absolutely key. I remember hosting barbecues at my house.
Right.
Everyone's going to come over. Yeah.
Right.
And you just ask Grant, like, hey, let's pool some money together, get the guys together, and just you have to build community because in these times, that's when it becomes most vitally important to do something else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Not dwelling on everything that's going wrong, too.
Yeah, you need to get
away. Like, you have to not dwell on it. I mean, listen, I never played sports anywhere close to the level that you guys did. Mm-hmm. But when I used to play fast pitch softball, I had this horrible slump in eighth grade. I still remember this to this day, where I played second base because I'm 5'2", 115 on a really, really heavy day. And I just, every grounder that would come to me, like, hardest hit, one hops, like the craziest grounders in the world. In practice, every time.
Yeah.
I get into a game, it would be a little dribbler, and I could not.
The yips.
I had the yips. I had the yips. And none of my coaches ever talked to me about it. None of my teammates ever talked to me about it. And so I just lived in this world of, I'm a failure. I'm terrible at this sport. I need to stop.
Yeah.
And so then I became a theater kid. but I wished to this day that, you know, you can recognize the fact that you have the yips and it's okay and you're going to get through it.
It happens.
And knowing in your head that you're going to get through this hard time, I think is like so key for getting through a slump.
It happens. And I think all good ideas, but most important is Saturday night getting back to the 3 points, the win column. Have to. Got to view this New York Red Bulls game just as an absolute
they're
must win.
They're sneaky good, too. Yeah. They're in 11th place, but they're sneaky good.
Yeah. I just think anything less than a win, even just an inspiring win, I think you take it any which way you can. But if we can see one of those 2-3-0s, you know, come out flying, Nico's on the board, Jordan's flying down the wing, getting people off their seats, you know, maybe a special goal here or there, it just changes the mood, man. And then you're going into the San Jose and Portland games in a much, much different space. And I think that's what's important at this point. Keely, broadcast info?
Yes, we are on Apple TV Season Pass. We are behind the paywall for this one. You can tune in also on 93.3. We are on 93.3, the main FM station. Steve, obviously on the call as always. Brad will be on for pre-half and post with Marcus Handman and Jackson Feltz. Steve will be on with Danny Jackson and Michelle Ledka.
And this is one of those where they can switch to the radio home broadcast.
Every home match you can switch to the local call. Road matches, TBD, once Apple gets their tech stuff figured out. Hopefully next season we can add that as a feature.
And for all those wondering, just get your remote, toggle down, and find where it's basically where the subtitle, around that area, and you'll be able to switch and hear Steve and Danny on your TV if you're not going to be at this game.
Yep.
Correct. All right, Sounders, hopefully get back to 3 points. We'll be back next week, and next week's a big one because we'll be previewing the doubleheader, right? The Rain and the Sounders both playing Portland. Brad's out of town. Do people know what you're doing? Do they know?
Let's talk about that.
So it's the TST, $1 million winner-take-all 7v7 tournament. So I got a text like 8 weeks ago from Nick Raimondo, hey, have you heard about this tournament? And I was like, vaguely, because then I had to go back and Google it. And it was the one that Clint's involved with since that they announced last fall.
Yeah.
So our team is like Mike McGee, Steve Lenhart, myself. We got Nick Pereira, who's, you know,
plays for the
really good
Tacoma
indoor
Stars,
player.
Great indoor player. Was a Rain GM for a while.
A great, you know, just a great player. So a lot of indoor soccer league guys we have on our team and just a bunch of runners. It'll be fun. Declan McGlynn's coming out. We play Clint's team.
That's going to be a good game.
We're going to get smashed. But our team is built on fun.
Yeah.
Not necessarily results, but some of these teams, I mean, Wrexham's fielding a team, Dortmund, Club Necaxa, West Ham United. There's some big, big teams. The women's national team has a team there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a spectacle and a half, but you can catch it on Peacock and YouTube also. So
really
head to
cool.
TST.
Yeah.
soccer tournament on Instagram, and you can kind of look at the schedule. So we'll be hanging out. Nick Raimondo's in goal for us, which is going to be awesome. And then we have another indoor soccer league legend, Toth, in the net also. So it's going to be a good time. Get to connect with some old friends and people. And, yeah, win a $1 million winner take all. That'll be on CNBC, actually, on Sunday, the next Sunday.
Amazing. I want to say Ocho Cinco's playing, too.
He's playing on a team too. Indiana Hoosiers have a team. Duke has a team. So Zach Mathers is playing on the Duke team, former Sounder. Wow. So it's going to be cool. And my hamstrings aren't going to hang on. But it's a 40-minute game, two 20-minute halves, kick-ins, unlimited subs, no slide tackling. So trying to keep it as much about soccer versus just smashing people. So
side note, my Peacock app has the weirdest suggestions on it because I watch all the like soccer games and everything, and then Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Bravo TV. So like my recommendations are just all over the place.
I'm gonna watch. That's gonna be great. We'll be back next week. Minus Brad, he'll be over there competing as
we're
previewing.
Maybe we can get him to phone in.
Yeah, as we're previewing the both teams playing Portland, but first. Business take care of against the New York Red Bulls. This Saturday night, 7:30, Lumen Field. Be there or follow us on Apple TV or listen in on the radio, of course, 93.3. As always, we appreciate you listening. Wherever you got your podcasts, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week. This has been Side by Side.